Oh, great pleasure. Great pleasure. Lovely gig. Been there before. Looking forward to it. Yeah.
What can we expect to hear? What all you got? You got the set list worked out?
Well, I'm doing things from most of the albums, you know, down through the years. I hope there's something there for everybody. I got some new music. I got a completely new song and put some new songs, different songs into the set as well. I'm with a wonderful guitar player called Mike Dawes, who's, you know, one of a new generation of great players, and Julie Reagan, a multi-instrumentalist who's been with me for a while now. And we're presenting the songs as I wrote them, as they were in my music room. And, I hope there's something there for everybody. I think so. Anybody who likes this music.
Justin, I got to ask you about Knights in White Satin. I heard in an interview that it was about bed sheets, and I guess who could have thought a song about sheets would become such a standard?
Well, I wish I could say the whole song was about sheets. I think it was I was 19 years old, and it was the thoughts of a 19-year-old boy who was at the end of one big love affair at the beginning of another, and that was pretty important in my life. But also, a girl had given me some white satin. Another girlfriend had given me some white satin sheets, and terribly romantic, but a bit impractical. But I think there's a lot of truth in that song, and every time I sing it, you know, I appreciate what the audience brings to it. You know, the magic that the crowd brings to it, and it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing for us in the group. It defined our sound, and it's lovely. There's another song I do called Forever Autumn, which was a solo thing for me, but Nights and Forever Autumn, you can go anywhere in the world, and even if they don't know who you are, they'll kind of know the song, which is lovely.
Yeah, and I know during the band's heyday, you had, you know, at least four of you guys writing different songs. What's sort of, I guess, the best part, and then also the challenges of having so many creative engines all firing at the same time?
Well, there was a lot of testosterone flying around in the early days. I came to the group as a songwriter, and Mike Prinder was also writing songs, and he was the one who brought me to the group. And I think he thought that we should, you know, try and get our own songs into the group, because originally it was a rhythm and blues group. But I think it worked out well for us. It gave us an identity, and we were very lucky to be with a label in London Records and Decca that didn't have an A&R guy standing over us telling us what to do and insisting that we make hit singles. And that's always been my rule of thumb ever since. You know, every label that I've been with, solo and Moody's, I've made sure that we can do what we think is right and trust our own judgment.
Justin, I not only individual songs that you've written over the years, but the Moody Blues were a group defined more by great albums. And instead of 10 three-minute songs, it was kind of, I guess, best experienced by a 30-minute movement. And not just that, but just the visual look of the album covers, from Days of Future Past to Every Good Boy Deserves Favor, they stick with you visually and orally. What was the key to making those LPs work the way they did within the group?
Well, we were very lucky. I mean, the first album was an idea of the record companies. It was meant to be a demonstration record to demonstrate stereo. But it coincided with the birth of FM radio in America, and it was recorded so beautifully by Decca. After that, I think we realized that we wanted to make it a whole kind of audio-visual experience, and the sleeves were very important to us, the whole design of it, the whole look of it, and it was a complete kind of follow-through, really. We were lucky to be part of that era and that generation where that was possible. I think for young boys and girls now, you know, they got one shot. They give you a song, and you got to grab it straight away. Otherwise, you know, they don't get many second chances. Also, we were a great live band, and that's always been the thing that stood us in good stead. And so that's why I'm out here now. I enjoy it on the road. I enjoy presenting these songs. And if you can create a little magic in a room, I think that'll make all the difference in the world.
Justin, I've seen you guys live. I've seen you live as well at Birchmere. But when you're with Graham and John Lodge nowadays, there seems to still be this incredible musical kinship between you and John. You guys joined the band together. You did the Blue Jays album together as well. What's it like to have a running mate like that all these years later?
I think it's the three of us. I wouldn't say there's any two. I think, you know, Graham is a big important part now, and he's a wise kind of head. And for me, it was Mike Pinder who brought me to the group. I think we're with the three guys now who really like to do it on stage. That's the thing with myself and Graham and John. It's a big catalog. We want to rediscover that catalog. So we're lucky to have each other, you know, we're enjoying it. It's a real pleasure for us. We're very lucky.
Two more questions. First, we can't leave Ray Thomas out of this. Not only the snazziest dresser, I think, with the group back in the day, but also the best dancer on stage, bar none.
Okay. That's funny. Yeah.
No, there's this video from Color Me Pop. You guys are singing Ride My Seesaw, and he doesn't have an instrument to play, so he's snapping and jazzing and doing whatever you do when you don't have an instrument.
Okay.
It's great. It's awesome. We got to kick out watching that video. Anyway, all right, well, we're up against the clock. So final question. You know, they just had the Rock Hall a couple weeks ago. Great bands get in, Cheap Trick, Chicago, NWA, and Steve Miller and some others. But there's a lot of people clamoring for you guys to be included. What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I live in Europe, so that it's kind of annoying for European people that the Americans think they've got that they should have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, it should be a kind of world thing.
Right.
But I know that it impacts the Moody's fans and people who love the music very much, and that they want it to happen so bad. I think it's going to be tough for the people who do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now, because you know, that all the groups they've kept out for so long, it would be like an admission of guilt if they let them in now.
Right.
I kind of feel they should have closed the door after the Eagles anyway. So,
There you go. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, you want it to be more of a global thing. Well, apparently Cleveland's the center of the world now. So,
Well, that's great. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much. You're generous with your time. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, it's great. Lovely talking to you guys. All the best. Look forward to seeing everybody at the Birchmere.
See you at the Birchmere Sunday, May 29th. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.